So if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the title of my sermon tonight is Let Her Also Be Shorn. Let her also be shorn. The Bible says if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. If the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's kind of break down this passage before I get into what I want to preach tonight. The first thing I want to point out is beginning in verse 14, where the Bible says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So what the Bible's saying when it says, does not even nature itself teach you, it's that, you know, we all kind of just know naturally, obviously, dudes are supposed to have short hair and women are supposed to have long hair. And instinctively, we know that that's right. Obviously, there are going to be some men who have long hair and go against that natural order of things. There are going to be women with short hair. But even nature itself teaches you that it's shameful for a man to have long hair. And then the Bible says, but if a woman has long hair, then it's a glory unto her. And it says that her hair is given her for a covering. Now let's back up with that in mind to verse number 3. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Then it says in verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now let's stop and think about this for a minute. What did we say the covering is according to this passage? Long hair, right? If a woman has long hair, it's a glory unto her because her hair is given her for a covering. So when the Bible says here, if a man pray or prophesy having his head covered, if we compare scripture with scripture in this passage, we're talking about a man praying or prophesying having long hair. So if a man has long hair and he prays or prophesies, he's dishonoring his head. Now, who does the Bible say is the man's head in verse 3? Christ. The head of every man is Christ. So if a man prays or prophesies having his head covered, meaning that he has long hair, he's dishonoring to Christ. This is what the Bible says. And then it says, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. Now, who is the head of the woman according to verse 3? The man. The head of the woman's the man, right? So she's dishonoring her husband if she's praying or prophesying and she has her head uncovered, meaning that she has short hair. So if you see a dude with a short-haired wife, basically that's kind of embarrassing for the dude that his wife has short hair. And then it says, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. So basically, when you see a woman who has short hair, it's saying, you know, why doesn't she just butch it all off? Why doesn't she just shave it all off? But if that would seem weird, if that would be embarrassing or strange for a woman to just completely shave her head bald or have it clipped super short, then let her also be covered, meaning let her have actual long hair, not short hair. And then it says in verse number 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered, right? Then let her have long hair. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, a couple things I want to say about this. Some people will try to say, well, this passage, it's talking about women need to wear some kind of a shawl or some kind of a cloth covering or some kind of a hat over their head, and you'll have these head covering Baptists or Mennonites or Presbyterians that will actually cover their head with something. But remember, first of all, number one, let's let the passage define it. The passage said that the long hair is given her for a covering, number one. But number two, in the Old Testament, the men who ministered in the temple and the tabernacle were actually commanded by God to wear hats. So when Aaron and the priests were given their garments in Exodus, part of that outfit that Aaron the priest wore was a hat upon his head. So if God is commanding men for all that time in the Old Testament, you know, 1,500 years of Old Testament, if he's commanding them, wear this hat while you serve me in the tabernacle. How could he then turn around in 1 Corinthians and say, oh, well, even, you know, I mean, doesn't even nature itself teach you? It's, well, hey, wait a minute. Why would God switch it up and all of a sudden say women need to wear a hat? Because guess what? It's not about hats. Because if it were about hats, dudes would be wearing the hats because that's who wore it in the Old Testament. And God wouldn't just change the game all of a sudden. No, we're not talking about hats. We're talking about long hair. If a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him, the Bible says. If a woman has short hair, she's dishonoring her head, which is her man. And if a man has long hair and prays or prophesies, if he's speaking in the name of Christ while he has long hair, that's dishonoring to his head, which is Jesus Christ. And in fact, the Bible says in verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Now, what in the world sense would that make if Jesus had long hair? So if Jesus Christ had long hair, why would the Bible say, well, hey, listen, dudes, you shouldn't have long hair. It's a shame for a man to have long hair because you're in the image of God. Because guess what? No one was in the image of God more than Jesus, because Jesus was actually the express image of God the Father's person. And so if anybody's in the image of God, it's Jesus Christ. And guess what? He didn't have long hair because he's the image and glory of God. And it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now, this is not what I'm preaching on tonight, though. This is just right now I'm explaining to you the basics of this passage so that you can understand the passage here about the fact that men are supposed to have short hair. But what I want to preach about tonight is I want to focus in on verse 6 specifically, where it says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. And what I want to preach about tonight is this, that God is not interested in us seeing how close to the line we can get and still technically be right with God. So basically saying, well, you know, I'm a woman, but I'm going to try to be as masculine as I can possibly be, but still technically dressing like a woman. Or, okay, well, I'm a man and I'm going to be as effeminate and queer as I possibly, but, you know, I'm still technically dressed like a man. Like, you'll see these guys in Bible colleges and everything where they have rules about, you know, women wearing skirts and dresses and men wearing pants, but they'll try to do the pink and the lavender, just basically trying to get as girly and effeminate as they can while still technically being in men's clothing. And you know, what the Bible's saying here is, look, if you're gonna sit there and have short hair as a woman, why don't you just shave it all off? Why don't you just go all the way and just butch it all the way? And you know what? God wants us to be either cold or hot, get in or get out, and quit trying to straddle the line between what's right and wrong. Why don't you just get all the way on the right side and get all the way in? And if it's a shame to be a faggot, then why would you want to be even a little bit effeminate? Why don't you just be all the way manly? You know, if it's a shame to be cross-dressed, then don't get as close to that line as you can. Get far from that line and get all the way on one side or the other, right with God. Amen. Now, I want to move on to the next point in the sermon, but first I'm going to need a volunteer. Okay, from the teens, and it's going to be a boy. Now, you're already raising your hand. Are you willing to be baptized with the bath? Can you drink of the cup that I'm going to give you? Because you haven't even heard what this is yet. Now, let me say this. I need a boy as a volunteer, and I'm going to be cutting your hair. Okay? So you're getting forewarning. You're getting a haircut. Okay? Now, whoever comes up and does this, how many raffle tickets are we giving them? How many points? We got to sweeten the pot a little bit here. Okay, 10,000 points for your team. And do we have any volunteers? Okay, now hold on a second. Let me just, before you get too excited there, all right? You're going down to a 3. You're getting buzzed down to a 3. All right? You're willing to do this? This ain't your mama's haircut. This is going to be worse. All right, come on up here. All right. Give him a big hand. Okay. All right. Thanks for being a good sport. I've only given out one haircut in my entire life, and so I don't really know what I'm doing. So, all right. Oh, yeah, this is easy. Piece of cake. All right. Okay.
Look good, Elijah. Look good.
All right, now, here, look this way. No. I'm not interested in that side. Just. Okay. All right, now we're gonna just pause for a minute. We're gonna take a little intermission, so just stop right there, okay? All right, now let's turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 10, okay? So 2 Samuel chapter 10 in your Bibles, okay? All right, so 2 Samuel chapter number 10, we're gonna begin reading verse number 1. And the Bible says, and it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore, Hanan took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. And they told it unto David. No, don't worry. I'm only doing the haircut. Yeah. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians, etc. All right, so I'm not going to finish this haircut, so just go ahead and have a seat. I'm done with you. Okay, so I'm going to leave him with a half a haircut. Okay, you're going to get the rest of the haircut after the service. Okay, so here's the idea here. In this story, these guys get half of their... Now, I was merciful because I went down to a 3. But, I mean, these guys got it shaved all the way bald, right? Just completely shaved off on one side. And their clothing was cut down the middle. And so they're half naked, okay? But not the half that they would want to be because it was down the middle. So half of their buttocks was exposed. One of their butt cheeks is exposed in this story, right? So the whole point is that they did this to embarrass them, right? They did this to humiliate them by doing this. But there's a spiritual lesson that we can learn here. Just as in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we saw this idea that God's saying, look, if you're not going to actually do things the right way, if you're not going to have your hair the way that I told you to have it, then why just go all the way? You know, you want to be a short-haired woman? Then just shave it all off. Just go bald. Why don't you just be, let her also be shorn. Why not? Why not just go all the way, right? Either get in or get out is what he's saying. And you know, when you look at this passage, he's showing here that it's a shame when you're half shaven and half not shaven. Half a beard, half no beard. Half clothed, the other half naked. It's embarrassing. They look foolish. And so therefore he says, hey, stay in Jericho until that grows back, because you don't want to come home to your family and you show up looking all weird like that. You know, they want to wait until they look a little bit more normal. And the thing that we can learn from this is that when you try to have it both ways, where you're trying to be a godly Christian on one hand, you're a fundamental Baptist on one hand, but then you're trying to fit in with this world and you're trying to be liberal and trendy and modernistic on the other side, you know what? You end up looking silly. You end up looking foolish in this world when you try to have it both ways. Now go, if you would, to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And, you know, I was just preaching on Sunday night about this new movie that's out in theaters right now. And it's the biggest Christian movie right now. And it's been a huge success financially. And it's already taken in $30 million of ticket sales. You know, I didn't even know people even hardly ever still go to the movies, because I thought they just stream everything at home now. But apparently, $30 million worth of tickets at the movie theater have been sold for people to go watch this movie, Jesus Revolution. And of course, in this movie, the main character, the hero of the film, is this long-haired hippie who's preaching the word of God with long hair, and he's preaching the Bible. But what they don't tell you in the movie, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but from what I understand, what they don't tell you in the movie is that the guy is a sodomite in real life, a literal, just known sodomite who died of AIDS, because guess what? That's the punishment for being a sodomite and going around and living that filthy lifestyle. So he died of AIDS. He's an open, known sodomite. In fact, it's even now known that while the events in the movie are going on, where he's supposedly leading some great revival for Christ and bringing all the hippies to Christ and helping found Calvary Chapel, that he was, quote, partying on Saturday nights and then preaching on Sunday morning. And when they say partying, they're talking about him going out and being a sodomite on Saturday nights. This guy's name was Lonnie Frisbee, and he's the hero of this new movie, Jesus Revolution. And so this is the kind of garbage today that Christians are eating up, because instead of just getting all the way on board with the Word of God and the Bible and preaching, they're trying to fit in with this world. And they're trying to say, well, hey, you know, we can be like the hippies, because this movie takes place in the early 70s. So it's like, hey, we can be like the hippies. We can have the long hair. We can have all the hippie music, the hippie lifestyle, the hippie ethos, plus Jesus mixed in. And we can basically have just an explosion of growth in our churches by, quote, you know, reaching people where they're at and you know, coming down and meeting them at their level. But let me tell you something. That is not God's plan for our churches to become super worldly and pattern ourselves after the sinful people of this world in order to reach them. We can reach people just fine with the Bible and the Holy Spirit and standing on God's promises and standing on God's methods in the Bible instead of feeling like we have to, you know, compromise in order to reach people. And especially when it comes to youth, there's this attitude today that says that we need to be cool or hip in order to reach the youth. And they say, hey, you know, if we could just become more approachable to them and dress like them and bring in their music and their attitudes, then somehow we're going to reach the youth for Christ. But isn't it amazing how in our movement of independent fundamental Baptist churches, we're reaching all kinds of young people? We have a house packed full of youth here today. But the difference is that we don't have to become teenage lookalike clowns in order to bring teenagers in to come hear us preach. And let me tell you something. When you've got a bunch of grown men in their 30s and 40s trying to pretend that they're teenagers and dressing all trendy like teenagers and putting on the skinny jeans and the jeans with the holes in them, and they've got like the tight little graphic t-shirt that they're bulging out of, and they're up here, you know, and they don't talk about being a Christian, they talk about being a Jesus follower. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a Jesus follower, man. And they're up here with their bar stool, and they're up here trying to look cool. And you know what? To me, they just look like a total idiot. And you know what? I think to a lot of people in this world, they look like an idiot too. I think they look like an idiot to Christians, and they look like an idiot to this world. Because you know what? They're trying to have it both ways instead of getting all the way in or all the way out, and they end up looking stupid. You know what? I've noticed that a little bit of Christianity can actually make you look like a dork in this world. But that when you get all the way on board with Christianity, you're no joke to anyone. Amen. But we've got too many watered down Christians that are trying to have it both ways, and they're going to be a hippie for Jesus, they're going to be a rap artist for Jesus, and they're trying to have it both ways, and they end up just looking stupid. They end up looking like the guy who's got half his beard shaved off, half his butt crack is showing, and he's just out there, what is he doing? What is he? You know, there are a lot of men here tonight that are clean shaven. They look good. There are a lot of men here that have a beard and they look good. But you know what? It's going to look stupid for anybody to have half of a beard on one side and no beard on the other side. You look like a clown. I mean, if somebody walked in to our church and they had a beard that just started right in the middle and just went this way and just nothing on this side, you know what I would think? This person is a clown. This person is trying to get attention. This person is making a fool of us. Like, this person's not taking life seriously. This person's not taking church seriously. This person doesn't take themselves seriously. And you know what? That's exactly how I feel about this new modern version of Christianity that tries to dress up church and make it look like the world and tries to make the pastor some kind of a social media influencer or some kind of a fashion model or some kind of a rock star. And that's why these churches call him the lead pastor. Instead of just calling him like the pastor or like the senior pastor, he's the lead pastor, like he's the lead guitarist is what they're trying to do with that. Right? I mean, what? Okay, who's the rhythm pastor, right? You got the lead pastor and the rhythm pastor, right? But you know what? They're trying to be cool and they just end up looking stupid. And today, you see all of these churches that have come out of that Jesus Revolution movement, the Jesus Freak movement, the Jesus people, or the Calvary Chapel type of a mentality, and this neo-evangelicalism today. And you know what? It ends up just making Christianity look stupid is what it ends up doing. And they don't end up reaching more people because they've been doing it for the last, 50 years? If we go back to when those events are taking place, that's 50 years ago. So let me ask you this. Do we have more Christianity in America than we did 50 years ago? Do we have more righteousness, more standards, more clean living? Or do we have more ungodliness, more sodomites, more wickedness, less people going to church, less people taking Christianity seriously? And you know what? When I go out soul winning every week, I've noticed that more and more every week, people are more hostile to Christianity than they used to be. You know, it used to be you go out soul winning 20, 25 years ago, obviously, a lot of people weren't interested. Obviously, a lot of people didn't want to listen. But people weren't as hostile as they're getting now. Now it's getting to where you'll get so many people just, no, oh, church, no way. Oh, Christian, no, I'm not religious, no. You know, it used to be if you asked somebody, are you a Christian? They would usually say yes. Even if they're not even saved, they were vaguely some kind of Christian. You know, my grandpa many years ago asked somebody, are you a Christian? They said, well, I'm not a cannibal. They thought those were the only two options. Living in America, like if you're not a Christian, you must be a cannibal. But today, it's just, are you Christian? No. Are you Christian? No. Are you Christian? No. We're getting more no answers to that question than we've ever before as our country gets more and more de-Christianized every single day. So let me ask you this. Is this attitude that says, make the church worldly, make it cool, is that really working to reach people in the long run? If they would have reached that young people generation from the 60s and 70s, then, you know, the churches right now would be packed with godly Christians and church attendances would be at an all-time high. And America would be experiencing revival and having all these great, but it's not happening, is it? You know why? Because it doesn't work. Let me tell you what works. The Holy Spirit works. The Bible works. Preaching works. And you know what? We need men of God to get up and stop trying to be cool and stop trying to be hip and stop trying to be trendy and to just spend their time with their face in the Word of God, with their face on the floor, praying and getting God's power on their life and reading the Bible than to try to figure out what can we do to reach the young people? What's going to be cool for the young people? And you know what? Here's one thing I appreciate about Pastor Jimenez. He doesn't try to be cool at all. At all. And I'm not saying that to insult him. He doesn't. And you know what? Neither do I. I don't try to be cool at all either. This man is not trying to be cool. You don't see him trying to be all hip and trendy and trying to figure out how he's going to dress to impress you and show you how cutting edge he is with his fashion. We don't care about fashion. Do you give a rip about fashion at all? We don't care. We're pastors. We're preachers. We're men of God. Our spiritual ancestors walked around in sheepskins and goatskins being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They weren't doing a fashion show. We're men of God. We wear a rough garment. We wear rough clothing. That's what the Bible says. We don't care about trying to be cool to young people because you know what? Coolness isn't going to get the job done. It's Bible preaching that's going to get the job done. It's sad when churches feel like they have to fit in with this world and have the cool music and the cool clothes and the cool program and constantly be on the trendy cutting edge. And it's supposedly all about reaching the young people. But what I find is that at these liberal, non-denominational, watered down community churches, here's what I find. The young people are not interested in the things of God. I've gone to these liberal churches as a teenager, and you know what? They weren't into it. The young people weren't into reading their Bible or going to church or anything like that. You know, they go to these trendy churches and they're just kind of like, yawn. And I'll tell you why. Did I have you turn to Acts chapter 20? I'll tell you why. Because, you know, when you come at people with this half-shaved, half-beard, right? Let's say the beard and the hair represents actual, real, biblical Christianity. And then let's say the shaven represents the lack thereof. Here's what happens. When you come at young people with this half in, half out mentality, you know what the young people are going to do? They're just going to say, why don't you just shave it all off? Like if you've already shaved half the beard, shave the other half. If you've already, you need to just take that other half of that pair of pants and just throw it in the trash. It's not, you know, it's no good anymore. And so what you see is that young people just end up just discarding Christianity and just going all the way to the world. I mean, if you come at them with a Christianity that looks so much like a rock concert, pretty soon they're just like, let's just go to the rock concert. Like, why are we going to this watered down half rock concert at church? Let's go to the full blown rock concert. Let's go to Metallica or whatever, you know, what are we doing here? Okay. Why not just go all the way? I mean, if it's a shame for a woman to be uncovered, you know, then let her also be shorn if she's not going to be covered. Why not just go all the way with it? Now look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. So this is a young guy. I picture him as a teenager, being fallen into a deep sleep. So this guy is asleep because Paul preached a sermon that's so long, he's preaching till midnight. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So this guy falls out the window and they think the guy's dead, but he's actually not dead. Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while. I like how Paul is just like, I'm still not done preaching. Like he preaches so long that the guy falls out the window and almost dies. It's already past midnight. And then it's like, he's okay. All right, let me finish my sermon. And then he keeps on preaching. All the way, it says he talked a long while, even till break of day, and he departed. Now, if we look at this illustration spiritually, right? Because this is a literal story about a guy who's literally sitting in the window, falls out, they think he's dead, he's actually alive. But let's take a spiritual view of this. What the Bible is teaching us here is not to be half in, half out. Because if you're sitting in the window, what are you? You're half in and you're half out. And so this guy's in church, but he's not all the way in church. He's in church, but his heart's kind of somewhere else. He's half in, half out. He falls asleep during the sermon. And so the first point I want to draw from this passage is that when you're half in, half out, you're going to end up getting all the way out. You don't typically fall into church. You don't fall into being a godly Christian. You don't accidentally fall into reading your Bible more. You know, when you're right there on the edge, the tenant, it's like the, you know, if the hen, well, the joke is that if the rooster lays an egg, you know, on the very peak of the roof, which way is it going to go? And of course, the answer is that roosters can't lay eggs, you know, at the point of the roof. But it's like, which way are you going to go? Well, when you're half in, half out with the things of God, you're always going to end up going out. You're always going to end up falling out. And that's what the Bible is teaching us here. Don't be on the line. Don't have one foot in the world. Don't be right there on the edge, because you're going to end up falling out. And then the other thing I want to point out is that when he falls out of church, people think that he's dead. And so a lot of times you'll have young people that are half in, half out. And when they fall out, people assume, oh, they're not saved, right? Like they think they're dead. Like, oh, he's not saved. That's why he fell away. But in reality, even many saved young people do fall out of church, because the guy's not really dead. He's actually alive. And Paul looks at him and says, no, this guy's alive. And, you know, you'll see young people that grow up and then they quit the church. And you might be tempted to just think, oh, well, they must just not be saved. But let me tell you something. Saved people get out of church all the time. Saved people quit the church all the time. They fall out of church all the time. It doesn't make them saved. Their life may still be in them. You know, they're still saved, because of course you can't lose your salvation. But when they end up falling out of the house of God, people think that they're not saved. And in many ways, obviously, they're as good as dead. They're unconscious. They're asleep. They're out of it. They're not serving God. They're not being used by God. And, you know, you young people that are here today, you know, obviously, the vast majority of you are saved. I hope all of you are saved. And I want you guys to get I want you to get out of the window. I want you to get all the way in. And I want you to decide that you will serve the Lord with your life, and that you're not going to try to have it both ways, but that you're going to get all the way in and get sold out for the things of God and serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, obviously, this youth conference is to show you a good time, but at the end of the day, we don't just want to show you a good time. We want to get you fully clothed in the armor of God, so that you don't have half your buttocks showing because you're trying to be half Christian and half worldly and trying to fit in with this sinful world. And look, a minute ago, I was preaching about how silly these pastors are who are trying to fit in with this world. 40-year-old men, 50-year-old men, and they got their super tight t-shirt on. And there's really two styles of these liberal pastors. All you got to do is just go on YouTube and just look at the big mega church pastors that are preaching to thousands with their purple lights and their churches that, by the way, we go out soul winning and find a lot of the people in the pews are not even saved in these churches, because the gospel is so watered down, the preaching is so watered down, that you talk to the members and, you know, you can pretty much, it's 50-50 whether they're even saved, or even worse. But you see these guys up there and they look like idiots. Am I the only one who feels this way? Because there's two styles. Either they're the kind where they have like the dad bod and a beer gut, but a super tight shirt. It's like, okay, you got a belly, but you got a super tight shirt on. And then you have these super skinny pants. So you have like these bird legs and then this kind of muffin top thing going on. Why are you wearing clothes that accentuate that? You know, if I were shaped like a chubby birdie, then I wouldn't wear super tight clothes that show every flab and fold of my body. Amen? What's the point? And then the other kind that you'll see, so that's what you see a lot of. You see a lot of these little bird-legged, little chubby 50-year-olds dressed like a 17-year-old. And I'm sure the 17-year-olds are just thinking, oh man, this guy's so cool. You think that that's what they're thinking? He dresses just like my favorite band. No, they're thinking my band is cool and this guy's a dork. That's what they're thinking. You know, why doesn't he just be himself and dress like himself, but instead he's trying to dress like the guy that they is in their favorite band or whatever, but that doesn't make him cool, because he's a cheap imitation. Okay, and then the other kind you'll see is these liberal megachurch pastors who are just in the gym all the time. Maybe they're even taking steroids, because they have arms that are like twice as big as they should be. Who knows what I'm talking about? Where their arm is just like double the size of a normal arm. And you're just like, what? Like, they look like a clown, like a cartoon character. And they got the, and then again, what's the common denominator? The tight shirt, the super tight shirt. So you either have the guy that's out of shape in a super tight shirt, or you have the guy that's like in shape in a super tight shirt, except he spends way too much time on his arms. So he has like these giant clownish, balloonish arms. And he's just like, you know, my hobbies are lifting and being a Jesus follower. And, you know, he's like trying to be all cool and trendy and whatever. And either way, he looks like a dope. He looks like an idiot. He looks like a clown. It's a circus, right? Why can't he just be himself? Why can't he just be normal? Why can't he just be the way that God made him? You know, and hey, I love lifting weights. I'm all for lifting weights. But you know what? Why can't we just have normal arms the size of our normal body? Why can't we just be the way that God made us? Why would we have to take drugs or do some weird program to have arms twice the size of a normal man's arms? I'm not interested. And you know, when I talk about these pastors, these 50-year-old adolescents, these midlife crisis teenagers trapped in a 60-year-old body, you know, it's easy to laugh at them, as you teenagers can laugh at them and say, oh man, they're trying to be cool. They're trying to be like us. They don't get it. They're trying to use our slang. They don't get it, you know, whatever. But here's the thing. Let me talk to you teenagers a little bit. You know, why don't you teenagers quit trying to be cool too? Because you know what? What's the point of trying to fit in with this wicked, ungodly world? And why do you want to look like that band? Why do you want to look like those actors? Why do you want to look like those actresses? Let me tell you something. You're a child of the King. You're bought with a price. You're kings and priests unto God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you say, oh man, I want to dress so I can look just like that guy who's going to hell? Just like that guy who one day is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Just like that guy who's going to go into a literal trash can someday for all eternity. I want to be just like this guy who's a person who doesn't love Jesus Christ, who doesn't love the Lord, who is on his third wife, or he's filled with STDs. And I want to be just like this band where the lead singer is covered in tattoos like a cannibal. And I want, and you say, oh, you're so judgmental. Oh, hey, you know what? The Bible says judgment needs to begin at the house of God, and somebody needs to stand up and say, right is right and wrong is wrong. And you know what? I am not going to sit here and just let our young people follow a culture that wants to look like cannibals and lesbians and sodomites. No! We ought to be different than this world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what's funny about teenagers is that teenagers, they're kind of ironic in the sense that they want to be cool, they want to fit in. But at the same time, they also want to be different. And it's like these are kind of two tensions. These are two things that are in tension, right? Like teenagers on the one hand, they want to be cool, they want to fit in, but at the same time, they want to be different. And so they're like, yeah, I want to be different, and I'm going to, you know, get the same piercing that everybody else has. Be different. I'm gonna be different by getting a tattoo, like everyone else is being different by getting a tattoo. Does everybody see what I'm saying? It's kind of ironic. But you know what? Christian teenagers need to just take this idea about being cool and just throw it in the trash where it belongs. This whole concept of wanting to be cool, wanting people to look at you, you know what? It's a sinful attitude. And let me tell you a few reasons why. Number one, because the Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and we always talk about those two. How about the pride of life? Amen. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, it's the pride of life that says, I want everybody to look at me and see and think how cool I am. I mean, think about it. If I'm going to put all this effort into being cool, you know what I'm basically saying is I want people to look at me and exalt me and lift me up. And I want to take pride in who I am. And I'm Mr. Cool. And everybody look at me. Because you know what? You're not doing that for yourself. You're doing that for other people. You know, it's funny, one of the slang words that you hear a lot these days, I hear this all the time, is like based. Right? B-A-S-E-D, based. That guy's based. Okay? Now, here's the thing. This is my understanding of that. My understanding of that term, based, because people will often tell me, Pastor Anderson, you are based. Okay. And I'm like, okay, all right, amen, whatever. But here's the thing. Here's my understanding of this term, based. And you young people can tell me if I'm getting this right. My understanding of this term, based, is that I don't give a rip what other people think or how other people are telling me that I need to live my life. I don't care what Hollywood or Madison Avenue or the school system or this world is telling me that I'm supposed to do, supposed to believe, supposed to feel. You know what? Hey, I am gonna do what I believe is right. And my life is based on my values, not what someone else is telling me that I'm supposed to be. Am I right about that? Is that what the, who will raise their hand and say, I think you understand the term based? Okay, I have a five-year-old girl over here. Am I right? If I'm wrong, tell me what it means. That's what it means, am I right? So let me ask you something then. If it's so cool to be based, then why are 99% of teenagers not based? That's what I'd like to know. You know, what could be more based than being based on the Bible? Than being based on Christ? How about basing our lives on Christ and the Word of God and the Bible instead of just being carried about with all the trends and whatever's cool and whatever the musicians are doing and whatever the disease-filled whores and whoremongers of Hollywood are doing? I don't care what they're doing. I want to follow the path that God has laid for me. I don't need them to tell me how to dress. I don't need some disease-filled idiot in the media telling me how to act, how to dress, how to talk, what to believe. And you know what? All the young people today, it's so cool now to accept queers. Isn't that considered cool now? In fact, I think there are a lot of young people claiming to be queers right now that probably aren't even really queers. But it's just so cool. They're just like, I want to be LGBTQ too. Like, it just because it's like a trend or something. Right? Who thinks that probably some of these people are pretending? Some of these kids and teenagers. I mean, you see little kids and junior high. Oh, you know, well, I'm bisexual. It's like, what? Folks, in a world where it's considered cool to be for the sodomites, I don't want to be cool. Okay, why don't you get your life based on what the Word of God says and quit letting the world drag you into all these stupid things in the name of being cool or fitting in or being trendy. Now, if you would go to Leviticus chapter number 13, Leviticus chapter number 13, we need Christian young people to stop trying to fit in with this world and be cool.
Right, that's right.
And show how they can follow the trend. And you know, you think I'm exaggerating when I talk about people being filled with disease? Let me tell you something. It's funny. I was talking to my daughter this week. We were chatting about these things. And I mentioned to her, I said, yeah, I just saw a statistic that, you know, 25% of the population of New York City is infected with an STD right now. And my daughter was like, whoa, that sounds kind of like an incredible statistic. That can't really be true. It can't really be that high. I said, well, let's do some research on it. We did a little research on it. We went on Google and we found that, you know what? In fact, it turns out that it's 20% of America, not New York City. I'm talking America in general. 20% of America right now is dealing with a sexually transmitted infection right now. Now. Not in their lifetime, now. And in fact, according to the Centers for Disease Control, 50% of America, on average, has an STD in their lifetime. 50 50%. And I wonder which 50% is it? Is it the 50% that's going to church, being a virgin when they get married? So here's the thing. You know, I was talking about this with my children. I've preached about this to my church many times. And I've told them, I've said, look, you know, if you go out there and sleep around, it's not that you might get an STD. It's that you will get an STD. It's that you are virtually guaranteed. And you say, well, I've got a 50-50 chance. No, because the people on the 50% side that's not getting an STD, it's probably just because they're not out fornicating. And so if I know that these Hollywood actors and actresses and rock stars and rap artists are whores and whoremongers, you can pretty much take it to the bank that they're filled with disease. Okay? And if you don't like it, take it up with the Center for Disease Control. Go look up the website. They're the ones who are saying 50% of Americans are going to have this in their lifetime. 20% have infections right now, whether it's HIV or HPV or chlamydia or syphilis or gonorrhea. But you know what? Let's dress like the gonorrhea gals that we see on TV and on the and that we hear on the radio. Let's just dress like all of the syphilis-filled, HIV-filled, HPV-filled, chlamydia-filled, just these filthy, disease-filled whores and whoremongers. Oh, but they're so cool. It's so cool. Hey, kids, don't you want to be hip? Don't you want to be cool? You got to look like the stars, man. Now, let me explain something to you. About being cool, it's vain, it's vanity. It's prideful, number one. And number two, it's empty, it's vanity. And you know what I've noticed? The people that try the hardest to be cool end up making the biggest idiot of themselves. Now look at Leviticus chapter 13. What's the sermon about tonight? The sermon is about getting all the way in. Not trying to mix the world with Christianity, not trying to fit in with this world and be cool with the world, and you're serving Christ, and you're serving, what does the Bible say? I mean, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Be not conformed to this world. You say, preach the Bible. Okay, be not conformed to this world. Don't pattern yourself after this sinful, filthy world. And you say, well, I think it's offensive when you talk about these diseases. You know what? The Bible says the filthiness of her fornication. That's what the Bible says. The Bible calls fornication filthiness, filth. Okay? That's what it is. Now, in Leviticus chapter 13, we have some laws about leprosy. And this is my favorite part of the leprosy chapter. So the leprosy chapter is not necessarily always the most exciting chapter in the Bible when you get here in your Bible reading and you're deep, but you're like halfway into the book of Leviticus. So it's like, you know, you can't really see the beginning or the end. You're deep in the middle of it. No end in sight, no light at the end of either end of the tunnel. And you get into this leprosy chapter and you got the scab and the white hair. Is the white hair? Is it yellow? Is it black hair? And you're going through this. But you know, there's this one part that I always thought was kind of a little fun part in this chapter. Okay. And it's this part. Look at verse number 9. It says, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he's unclean. And so it's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. You know, this guy's got some leprosy. He's unclean. If you see leprosy, that means he's unclean. But here's the part that I always thought was a fun part. It says in verse 12, and if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot. So the Bible says, this guy has so much leprosy that it's just head to toe, every square inch of this guy becomes 100% covered in leprosy. Everybody getting the picture? Now you'd think like this is a mega leper, right? Like, whoa, like it's one thing, got a little leprosy here, a little leprosy here. No, no, this guy, I mean, top of the head to the bottom of the foot, every square inch of this guy's body is leprosy. Is everybody getting the picture? Then the priest shall consider, verse 13, because it says, look, from head to foot, wherever the priest looketh, it's all leprosy. Verse 13, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him, what? Excuse me? He shall pronounce him clean. And you're like, wait, is this a misprint in my Bible? You know, you're checking other Bibles, like, is this a typo? This guy's got nothing but leprosy from head to toe. Every square inch is leprosy. And the Bible says the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's all turned white. He's clean. Now, isn't that kind of a wild concept? But here's what the Bible's saying. That if you have no leprosy at all, you're clean. And if you are just 100% leprosy from head to toe, you're also clean. Now, why? Now, look, you might think this is crazy. Now, let me just give it to you from like a medical or a scientific standpoint, you know, just so you don't think the Bible's being weird here, okay? Is that the reason that the guy who has leprosy 100% head to toe, and obviously this isn't the same disease of leprosy that we have today, because diseases are constantly adapting and changing. Remember all the COVID variants and everything? I mean, now give that a few thousand years, and yeah, disease has changed dramatically over time. But the idea here is that if the whole body has already been turned to leprosy, there's no more infection or inflammation. The job's done. He's just been totally, all of it is just turned white. It's over. The process is over. So because the process is no longer happening, he's no longer contagious anymore. That's why he's pronouncing him clean. He's not contagious because there's no activity. There's no action. It's just done. But that aside, I want to talk about more of a metaphorical or spiritual application, like a figurative application here, of what is this concept of, you know, if he's just got leprosy all the way head to toe, then he's clean again. You know, this kind of goes to what we were saying earlier about being all the way in or all the way out. All the way in, you're good to go. All the way out, you're good to go. Half in, half out, unclean. If you're half leprous, you're unclean. If you're all the way, you're good to go. Now think about this. Think about when it comes to this world and what they consider cool. Because that's what everybody's so concerned with, right? That's what teenagers are so concerned with, right? Being cool. And that's why they end up sometimes doing some of the stupid things that they do, or dressing in weird ways, or doing strange things with their hair. You know, he didn't choose this strange thing with his hair. But, you know, doing all these bizarre things because they're trying to be cool. But let me tell you something. The people that go all the way worldly, the actual rock stars and Hollywood whores and whoremongers, you know, they're considered cool by this world, aren't they? They look cool because they're all the way rock and roll. They're all the way that hip-hop lifestyle. They're all the way that Hollywood lifestyle. All the way Madison Avenue. And people look at that as, wow, that's cool. But you know, let me tell you something. If you actually get all the way as a Christian and you have no coolness at all, just totally forget the concept of coolness, just quit caring about what other people think, just quit even trying to wear the trendy clothes or follow the hip hop lifestyle, you know, and you know, you got the hip hop lifestyle. Some people are into that, the rock and roll lifestyle. You know, when I was a kid, it's like you have the skaters, and then you have kind of like the drug crowd, and then you have like the hippie crowd, And they were kind of like a retro hippie crowd, because I'm not that old, you know. But it was like a retro hippie crowd. And then you had like the hip hop crowd. And then you had like a gothic crowd. You know, if you actually just put all of that aside and just say, I'm sick of trying to fit in and follow these people, and just, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. Coolness doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to be myself. I'm just going to put on clothes. I'm a man. I'm going to dress like a man. A lady is just going to dress like a lady and just put on Christian clothes. Just be who you are. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm conservative. I'm fundamental. I'm a Baptist. I believe the King James Bible. If you just go all the way, let me tell you something. You are cool again. You're cool again. Because you see, to this world, Christianity is like leprosy to them. And you have a little leprosy, you try to be a little bit Christian, and you know the world's going to scoff at you and say, oh, you're goody two-shoes. Oh, you're a little preacher boy. Oh, you're a little good girl. Why? Because you're trying to fit in with this world and be a little bit Christian, and you've got this little bit of leprosy, and it's like, ah, look at you. Oh, you know, you're not a Christian, are you? Well, yeah. You know, oh, man, you know. What's it? What, you don't drink? What? What's wrong with you? Don't you want to get a tattoo with us? But let me tell you something. You know, I said a little bit earlier, Pastor Jimenez doesn't try to be cool at all. But that's why Pastor Jimenez is super cool. I'm serious. You know, there are a lot of people who hate Pastor Jimenez. You know, we were just talking today about how, you know, there's a ministry that he was trying to get involved in. And then as soon as they looked him up, as soon as they heard it was Pastor Roger Jimenez, they said, no, you know, we're not interested. Because, you know, no. There are a lot of people who hate. There are a lot of people who hate Pastor Jimenez. There are a lot of people who hate other pastors in our movement because they stand for the Word of God, because they're preaching the truth and it offends them. But you know what? Nobody thinks that Pastor Jimenez is a dork. Nobody thinks that Pastor Jimenez is weak. Nobody thinks that Pastor Jimenez is a joke. You know what? Pastor Jimenez is a serious guy. Whether people love him or whether they hate him, he's based. I mean, you know, you right? I mean, you can't get around that. And see, here's the thing about that is that I remember as a teenager being a Christian in the public school system and getting made fun of for being a Christian. And I remember one time in the public school system when I was 11 years old, literally just being surrounded by kids who were chanting, Christian brother, like to mock me. And they're literally just calling me that, making fun of me and whatever. But here's the thing about that. I'll tell you why, because I was a weak Christian that barely talked about Christ, that barely, you know, was serving God at all. And so when they found out that I'm a Christian, it was a joke to them. It was funny. But you know what? As I got older and I got serious about serving God, and I became dedicated to serving God to the point where I'm just bringing my Bible to school and just slapping it down on the desk. I just walk in and just bring my Bible. I'm just reading my Bible in class, reading my Bible at lunch, just proudly proclaiming that I was a Christian. And you know what? Nobody made fun of me for that. No one did. I would go to my job and I would go to school and I would go to college. And you know what? No one made fun of me for being a serious Christian. But I was made fun of when I was trying to fit in and be half Christian. Why? Because you know what? A clean-shaven man looks totally normal. But you know who looks stupid is the one who has half a beard and the other half clean-shaven. You know, it'd be one thing to just be wearing shorts and a t-shirt. But then it'd be another thing if you had like one pant leg down to here, and then you got shorts over here, and it's a tank top on one side, and it's a long sleeve, you know, turtleneck on the, you'd look like a clown or a freak. And you know what? the bottom line is this. Go, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. Trying to be cool and fit in with the worldly music scene, the worldly Hollywood scene, and be a dedicated Christian is a fool's errand. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can't pull it off. If you want to see if it works, look at these trendy pastors in their tight shirts. Whether they're the gym kind or the don't go to the gym kind, they both look like a spaz. Okay? It doesn't work. And so what you got to choose is which way you're going to go. If you want to be the big man on campus and you want to be cool and you want everybody to think that you're so cool, first of all, you're a prideful, arrogant person, and that's wickedness. But you know what? If you want to do that, you're going to have to go all the way worldly. They're not going to be happy if you're a little bit worldly. You're going to have to go all the way. You're going to have to go all the way, and you know what? You can't serve Christ that way. Indulging in all the world's stupidity and fitting in with what the world wants. I mean, look, let me put it to you this way. Let's say I wanted to be a successful pastor in 2023. I pretty much have two choices if I want to be a successful pastor. I can go all the way liberal. If I just go all the way liberal and I just bring in just a total rock concert and just modern Bible versions, NIV, 15-minute sermon, give people exactly what they want, apologize to homos, apologize to everybody, and just become Faithful Word Community Church, and just anything goes, preach exactly what people want to hear. You know what? If I did that, I would be successful in the sense that it would be a big crowd. It would be money in the offering plates, right? Because people are doing that every day. Adventure Church, right? All these different fun centers. It works. They run thousands. They start churches and boom, they're running thousands. But you want to know another way I could be successful as a pastor is I could just not be worldly at all, not be trendy at all, not give in to any of that stuff, and just stay old-fashioned, stick with the Bible, fundamental, preach the Word of God, win souls, preach everything in the Bible, doesn't matter who it offends, not trying to be cool at all, just preach only what God says and take a stand and pray and read my Bible and just eschew all of the liberal, lame, worldly, modernist junk, and I'll be successful if I do that. Because I'll have God's blessing, I'll have God's power. And there are people out there who want that. There are 7,000 men who haven't bowed the knee to Baal, and that's what they want. They want something that's all the way King James, fundamental, straight down the line. Those are the two ways to be successful. But you want to know how I would fail as a pastor? If I'm like, well, we're King James preferred. We're not King James only, we're King James preferred. And I tried to have the best of both worlds, where I get like a purple light and a bar stool and a tight t-shirt and I start calling myself a Jesus follower instead of a Christian. But I'm still against homos. It's like, it wouldn't work, would it? If I'm just like, you know, let's say we had a rock band at our church, purple lights, and it's a 15-minute sermon, but the 15-minute sermon is like, hey, let's turn to Leviticus 20:13 for 15 minutes. You think it's going to work? No, because you know why? I'd lose both crowds. Because the fundamental Baptist would be like, I don't want this worldly trash. I'm out of here. God's like, I don't want to bless this weak sauce, worldly liberal church. But then at the same time, I'm not worldly enough to bring in the worldly crowd. So I'm not worldly enough for the worldly crowd, and I'm not godly enough for the godly crowd. I'm just right there trying to be in the middle. It's going to be a failure. And let me tell you something. We're talking about, at this conference, the next generation. Okay? The next generation is going to be cold or hot. Because let me tell you something. The only way that the independent fundamental Baptist movement can survive is to either go super worldly or to go all the way godly, all the way fundamental, all the way with the Word of God. And that's what's going to happen. And that's why many old IFB churches are dying. Because they're trying to be soft and fit in and not offend people, but then trying to be fundamental at the same time, it's not working. And so we're going to be the branch of fundamentalism that actually goes all the way, hardcore, hell-bent for leather, preaching, soul-winning, missions, reading the Bible. We'll preach long, and we'll preach, without gimmicks, without having to say, hey, let's get a long-haired hippie up here preaching. No, nuts to it. We're not going to dress in a way to make you happy. We're not going to bring in the music that makes you happy. No, we're going to just do what's right. But you know what? There is another path that will work, which is going all the way liberal and just leprous from head to toe. That'll work too. That's a clean strategy. No leprosy is a clean strategy, and total leprosy is a clean strategy. According to the Word of God, both of those are clean. And that's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You think God likes this weak sauce, liberal, half in, half out, neo-evangelical, hippy-dippy Christianity? Well, we're Baptistic. We're not Baptist, but we're Baptistic. Let me tell you something, my friend. You teenagers need to take a look. I think when I talk about churches and pastors, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? How we got to go all the way. We got to be what we are. We got to be who we are. We got to quit apologizing for who we are. And we got to just own it. Just own it. Pastor Jimenez is a fundamentalist Baptist. He owns that. You know, he preaches hard against sin. He makes people mad. He doesn't fit in with this world. He will never be loved in this community by the politicians or the business people or anything like that. No, he is what he is, and he owns it. And you know what? I think young people look at that and they respect that. And they say, you know what? I'll follow this man of God. Is it because he's the coolest dude? He's not even trying to be cool. He's not cool at all if cool means being conformed to the world and Hollywood and rock star. He's nothing like, which music star does he remind you of the most? Which Hollywood actor? I can't think of any. But let me tell you something. It's easy to say that about the churches and the pastors. But you know, how about you, teenager? Why don't you quit trying to be cool? Why don't you quit trying to be Eutychus, half in, half out? Next thing we know, you're out of church and everybody's saying you're dead. And we're like, no, he's alive. He's just half in, half out. He was just sleeping. Let me tell you something. You young men are the next generation. You young ladies are the next generation. And you know what? If a few of you don't rise up and stand up and decide to be the next Pastor Anderson and the next Pastor Jimenez and the next Pastor Pozarski, then there won't be a fundamental Baptist movement anymore. Unless a few of you guys stand up and rise and build and lead. And if you have some strategy that says, well, I'm going to be like Pastor Jimenez, but I'm going to be a cool version of Pastor Jimenez. I'm going to be like Pastor Anderson, but I'm going to be a cool version. No, you're not. You're going to be a failure. Okay, and let me tell you something. You young ladies, you young men, all of you, even if you're not going to be a pastor, right? Even if you're just going to be a Christian. Hey, why don't you just own the fact that you're a Christian? How about when you go to school or when you're in the community or you go to your job or whatever? Why don't you just tell everybody that you're a Christian and just own the fact that you're a Christian and not be ashamed like, oh, I don't want them to realize that as a lady, I only wear skirts and dresses. Because you're afraid of what this gender-bending, queer-bait society is going to think of you? This society is so confused, who cares what they think? Why would I want to make happy some society that doesn't even know which bathroom to use? And I really care, and you're like, oh, what if they find out I only wear skirts and dresses? They don't even know what bathroom to use! Why don't you just own the fact that you're a godly Christian? Own the fact that you love the Lord. Talk about the Bible. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell your friends that you're a Christian. And better yet, win them to Christ. Amen. And be who you are. And be 100% all the way sold out God's people. And don't even just, you know, when somebody tries to say like, oh man, you know, why aren't you wearing the skinny pants? What's with the big pants? See, I don't wear skinny pants because I don't want to look like a faggot. Amen. You know what? Nobody's going to think like, oh, that guy, he's weak sauce. No, people will respect that, actually. People respect you when you take a stand. People respect you when you're all the way one thing or another. And, you know, obviously I didn't necessarily take the time to prove from the Bible every single thing that I said tonight. But if you study to show yourself approved unto God, you're going to find that everything I'm saying about fornication, disease, sodomites, long hair on men, short hair on women, clothing, worldliness, it's all in the Bible. Amen. Everything I'm saying tonight is true. Amen. Choose which side you're on, kids. Amen. And you know what? I promise you one thing. If you get all the way on the Lord's side and stop worrying about being cool at all, you will be cool. Amen. And the world can't guarantee you coolness. Eminem can't get up and tell you, hey, be exactly like me and people will think you're cool. Who are the cool people today? Tell me who the coolest people out there today. Help me out. Thank you. Who does the world consider cool? I know you guys don't, but who does the world consider really cool right now? Beyonce and Tom Holland. Okay. Can Beyonce guarantee you, hey, follow my plan and you will be considered cool by your peers? I don't think Beyonce can make that claim. I don't think Tom Holland can make that claim. I don't know who that is, but but I promise you that if you stop caring what anybody thinks, and just start serving God 100% with your life and just don't give a rip, just forget about it, I guarantee I will bestow upon you the coolness guarantee. It's a money-back guarantee. Okay? You get all your tithing back. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? I'm serious right now. Because guess what? You know what the definition of being cool is? The real definition? It's not giving a rip what anybody thinks. Because you know what? Trendy little conformist followers aren't cool. They've never been cool. Okay? So quit trying to be cool. Coolness doesn't even matter. And you shouldn't even care about my coolness guarantee. If you care about the guarantee won't work on you. So this is a paradox tonight. So if you come back and say, it didn't work. This is why I could never be proven wrong. Because if you come to me and tell me, it didn't work, I'm not cool, I'd be like, well, the fact that you're bringing this up shows that you care, and that shows that you didn't follow the formula. See, the reason I can guarantee that no one will ever be disappointed is because if you're disappointed, you didn't follow the plan. And if you follow the plan, you're not disappointed because you don't care. Think about it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this church, Lord, and this conference, Lord, and I pray that attitude of conforming to the world and being cool, Lord, I pray that pastors would quit doing it. But Lord, I pray that teenagers would just grow up and get past all of these trends and trying to fit in and be cool, Lord. I pray that we would just worry more about being right with you, Lord, than fitting in with a sinful and adulterous generation, Lord. Bless the rest of the conference, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.